time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for being with us today for another edition of Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon with Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We are excited to take up many subjects regarding the Christian faith, theology, sanctification, practice, all of these things we love to take up each week with you in sort of an open discussion format. And today we're going to take up a subject that is quite foreign today to many, a subject that would seem to be offensive, and one that would actually not be good for church growth, but one that the Bible teaches very strongly, and we need to proclaim the whole counsel of God. We're going to look today at the wrath of God. You know, Wes, the other day I was driving down the street, and I saw a license plate frame, and it said, "Smile, God loves you."
Mm-hmm.
How do we correlate that? It seems that most people in society today only have depicted and characterized a God of love, and they can't imagine God also being a God of wrath. I mean, I've never seen a license plate that says, "Frown, the wrath of God is upon you." But right. Isn't that an equal truth? I mean, isn't his wrath just as real as his love?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when we look through the Bible and we look at different scripture passages, we see that indeed God is love. I mean, that is a biblical statement. I think we find it in 1 John. But we also find in scripture other truths about God. One of them is that God is a consuming fire. We find that in Hebrews 12:29. Maybe I'll read from verse 28. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." And when we read those words, you know, we should be very careful what we say.
I've been, this last week, you know, we've been going through a series on God's wrath. And in Romans chapter 1, we looked at this week, but Romans 1 is one of the most definitive statements about the wrath of God in the Bible. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." That word there for wrath is orge in the Greek. There's a few different words. This is not a fly-off-the-handle kind of wrath. This is a wrath that grows ripe against sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always talking about God's wrath against the sinner for their willful rebellion against him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a statement out there, Wes, that commonly is said, God hates the sin but loves the sinner. How do we respond to that in light of something like Romans 1:18, which clearly teaches that his wrath is also upon the sinner, right?
You know, I really wish that were true. You know, if I were to write the gospel and if I were to write the Bible, I would probably want that to be in the Bible. But I can't change the fact that the Bible teaches something completely different. And, you know, we find it in passages like Psalm 7, verse 11. "God is a just judge and God is angry." So he has wrath with the wicked every day. "If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrow into fiery shafts." Listen, folks, I can't change that. That's what the Bible says about God, that God is not only expressing his anger towards sin, but he also expresses his anger towards sinners.
Yeah, and if we went for that logical statement, brought that out logically, who does he punish in hell, the sin or the sinner?
Mm-hmm.
It's who we are in nature. We are sinful by nature, and you can't separate out the sin from the person. It's who we are.
Exactly. You know, to get back to that bumper sticker, I once saw a bit of a cartoon which played on that, and it showed a picture of Noah's Ark, and the Ark was floating on the water, and the wicked were in the water waving, kind of hoping to make it out of there somehow. And on the side of the Ark, there was a big sticker that said, "Smile, God loves you." Right?
Well,
I mean, that...
Yeah, how do you reconcile that? I mean, that was his wrath upon them.
Exactly. It was his judgment upon them, not just upon their sin, but upon them. It's very difficult to separate the sin from the sinner.
See, the problem here is we're really wrestling through the attributes of God. And what we've done today is exalt one attribute above all the rest, and that has been his love. And so we only then characterize God in that way. And any other attribute, which when we're talking about wrath, we're talking about his justice, mm-hmm. his righteousness, his purity, his holiness, all those things. What we're doing then is suppressing the attributes we don't like, exalting one over above them all, which is essentially forming a God of our own imagination.
Right, exactly. And then we're where I think Niebuhr said Protestant liberalism was, right? That a God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through a Christ without a cross.
Yeah. It's a totally recasting of everything the Bible teaches. I mean, think about Wes, John 3:36. Jesus made this statement. This is our loving Jesus. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's present. It's the same word as Romans, the orge, the wrath of God presently abides on everyone who's outside of Jesus Christ right now. So that means, Wes, anyone who's out there who's not in Christ, God's wrath is upon them?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I think you're quoting that passage also highlights an important truth. Some people are inclined to say, well, you know, what I read from Psalm 5, that's the Old Testament. That was God in the Old Testament. But we're in the New Testament. God is different now. Well, when people say that, they don't reckon with the fact that the one person who spoke the most about hell and the one person who spoke the most about God's wrath and God's judgment was Jesus Christ. And so if you're going to try and make this dichotomy between the God of the Old Testament and the Jesus of the New Testament, it's not going to fly.
That's exactly right. You know, Jesus, the same Jesus who said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That same Jesus said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Luke 13:49. You see, this is what Paul understood about the gospel, because if you are covered by the righteousness of Christ, that wrath is not on you. His love is upon you. And if you read right after John 3 there, it says, he who does not believe is condemned already. Yeah. That means the wrath is on them. So you're either in Christ or outside of Christ. You're either in the love of God and have come to know that love in Christ, or you are outside of Jesus and God's wrath abides on you. This affects everything about our gospel presentation, mm-hmm. our calls to faith, everything about how we view the gospel, right?
Exactly. And you know, I think of R.C. Sproul. He always likes to bring out this thing of the question, saved from what? He says he will go walking down the street and there'll be street evangelists and people will ask him, hey, are you saved? And he always asks them, saved from what? And most of them can't give a proper reply to that. And I think today, the answer to that question, saved from what? Jesus Christ saves us from what? People can't answer that. Well, the biblical answer is that Christ saves us from God, from the wrath of God against sin.
That's right. And you know, it's such an important point when we get back to gospel presentation. You think about why the gospel's not having such an impact on people today. Paul understood as he started off Romans that addressing the great subject of God's wrath was so important because it wasn't about fixing a bad attitude. It wasn't about health and wealth. It wasn't about the right steps to this or that. The fundamental issue for Paul was, how can sinners be in a right relationship with God? And if you don't understand the wrath of God, you're definitely not going to look for the righteousness that God provides in Christ.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, if when unbelievers hear that God loves them, what motivation do they have to believe the gospel? If God loves me already, what's the problem?
That's a good point, because you know, I heard the story one time. A man went out on the beach and he was evangelizing. He said, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. What reason won't you accept him right now? Well, the guy held up his six pack. I got six reasons. And the point is that, great, God loves me. What do I need to turn from? There's no sense of urgency to turn from sin.
Exactly. If God loves me, then certainly nothing can keep me from being received into heaven.
Right. Doesn't matter how I live.
Right. Well, exactly. The gospel is irrelevant.
Right. Okay, so we have this presented to us, these two truths in the Bible, the wrath of God, the love of God. Wes, when Romans chapter 1 is intriguing to me because it says the wrath of God, it's in the present there, is being revealed. Mm-hmm. We often think wrath of God is going to be revealed on Judgment Day, and it will. But how is the wrath of God being revealed? Is it something that's present right now?
Yeah, Chris, I think it's revealed. God's wrath is being revealed in the fact that he's giving people up, right? Three times here in Romans chapter 1. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, verse 24. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. And then in verse 28, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting.
Well, I think that that's right, Wes. You look at Romans chapter 1 in context, three times the Lord gives them over. His response to sin is, when sinners continue to harden their hearts against him, at some point he says, that's it. You want it, you got it. We looked at that this week. And so we see all this sin and misery around us, people living in it, they're caught in it, and that is evidence of God's wrath. We often think, why do things happen the way they do? But it's the fact that God has revealed his wrath in saying, if you want this choice of this lifestyle, you're given to it. Here you go. And so, we don't know when that point is, though.
So what's the way out?
The gospel.
Exactly.
That's why we preach it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, where the love of God is revealed to us in his wrath being poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross.
That's the greatest point where we see that God takes sin seriously. He poured it out on his son, and all who come to him shall have life.
And have abundant life.
Tell us a little bit about the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Well, we worship at 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays. If people want more information, they can go to our website, www.langleycanrc.org. People can also give me a call. My phone number is 604-220-7718. 604-220-7718.
Thanks for joining us this week. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Well, our desire in our brief time together each and every day here on Abounding Grace is to encourage you in Christ, and we trust today's broadcast has done that, even in a small way. If you have questions or comments about today's program, maybe a thought or two about what we've discussed today, would you please contact us? We'd love to hear from you. Your letters and phone calls mean a great deal to us. It's a great way of encouraging us as we seek to encourage you in Christ. The phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, please stop by our website. We even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there that you can review and listen to at your convenience. LindenURC.com is the website. Again, LindenURC.com. And as you stop by, would you drop us a quick email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. Again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. And if you would like to join us for worship here at United Reformed Church of Linden, we're located at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions and the map are located at our website, lindenurc.com, or you can call us, 360-318-0429, for those directions. And if you do visit us, would you let one of the ushers know that you were invited by the broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. If you'd like to write to us, just add Abounding Grace and the zip code 98264 to that address, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, and we'll be sure to correspond with you in kind. We do thank you for joining us today, and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.